Lord Jesus, breathe into us your spirit of mercy. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. So often I find that God's living word touches and breathes new life into us through the timeliness of a particular passage of Holy Scripture in a way that almost nothing else can. And so how fitting that after a week like the one that we have witnessed collectively as a nation, our gospel lesson today is the parable, perhaps the almost too familiar parable that we have come to know as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Too familiar in that, because it is one of the most famous and most well-known of Jesus' stories, it is also one that runs the risk of making us feel that we know it all already, and that there's nothing new to be gained, no new angle or fresh perspective. We know this man, traveling on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. We've probably heard in other sermons how dangerous this road was known to be for travelers. We might even have our own images by now of what this road to Jericho looked like, a hot, dusty pass, winding down and descending from Jerusalem's height, about 2,500 feet above sea level, to Jericho's depth, some 825 feet below sea level, on the west bank of the Jordan River, just north of the Dead Sea. And in that geographical distance, the vertical drop is about 6/10 of a mile. Perhaps we have that image in our minds of those robbers hiding just behind a curve in that hilly mountain pass, accosting the traveler, leaving him for dead. We know and we see that man lying there bleeding, the heat of the sun scorching him, sweat glistening on his motionless arms. And this person being passed by not once, but twice, by other fellow Jews, a priest, and then a Levite, temple officials, holy people, before a third traveler, the Samaritan, stops. We already know something about the animosity, the hatred that Jesus's fellow Jews, who were listening to him tell the story, had for those folks from Samaria, those people who worshiped God on a different mountain, whose ancestors had intermarried with pagans from other lands, those other people who were to be kept at a distance at all costs, even traveling to the other side of the Jordan River to avoid passing through their territory. And we already know how shocking, to the point of being inflammatory, how shocking and inflammatory it would have been for those listening to Jesus' story, including the lawyer who wished to justify himself, that it was this one, this other one, the despised one, the one with whom differences were insurmountable and irreconcilable. It was this one who showed mercy. Perhaps we've already had modern-day comparisons offered to us to help make the point. A crowd of Orioles fans, or even better, Red Sox fans, hearing it was the New York Yankee fan who showed mercy. Or perhaps today, a group of Hillary supporters hearing that it was a Trump supporter who showed mercy, and vice versa. In fact, wherever a line has been drawn and positions staked on either side, It's the person on that other side of the line who saw, who was moved with compassion. The word in Greek is that he was so moved that his guts, his very guts, were spilling out with compassion, with a feeling of suffering with the person that he saw almost dead on the road. And it is that feeling of feeling suffering alongside another human being that made him cross over to draw near and not to stay apart, to close the gap, to show mercy, and to act. The point that Jesus was trying to make then, 2,000 years ago, the message he so desperately wanted everyone to hear in response to the question, what can I do to save my soul? What can I do to have eternal, abundant life? How is it that God wishes for me to live? His response is the very response that we need to hear and be reminded of again today. The way to eternal life, the way through, is to draw near, to ignore the line that has been drawn, to see, to allow ourselves to be moved, to always allow ourselves to be moved with compassion, and to act. That is the way through, and that is the only way through. It's not about justifying. It's not about judging. It is about mercy. Individually and collectively, Jesus said 2,000 years ago, and he says to us today, this is the way through for us individually and as a nation. Let our hearts be hearts of flesh, not of stone. And let us resist the temptation to give up and to be cynical. In all the media and all the articles and all the pictures that I have seen and read this past week, a few are sticking out in my mind, and those are the ones that I am looking to for hope. There is the image in Dallas that I'm not sure all of us have seen of a crowd of people of different colors and different heights and different, clearly different walks of life crowding around a baby stroller in the midst of the chaos to make sure that the child in that stroller made his way through safely. There is the interview of a man named Kellen Nixon, who was there with his 5-year-old son, who said to a reporter that he was spiritually recovering from this past week, and I think that aptly describes where we all are. We're spiritually recovering. You start to think it's me against the world, Kellen said. But with that type of mentality, we'll implode as a people. We'll implode not as an ethnicity, but as a people. And in the end, we are one human race. He went on to say, I need to be reminded. I need to hear that love conquers all. Because if I let that other mentality overwhelm me, then who can I help? A woman named Natasha Howell posted on Facebook, she lives in Andover, Massachusetts, she posted feeling hopeful, and I said, well, how can anyone be feeling hopeful? And she wrote on her Facebook page, so this morning, I went into a convenience store to get a protein bar, and as I walked through the door, I noticed that there were two white police officers, one about my age, the other several years older, talking to the clerk, an older white woman, behind the counter about the shootings that have gone on in the past few days. Natasha, from her picture on her Facebook, is a beautiful young African-American woman. She continues to write, they all looked at me and fell silent. I went about my business to get what I was looking for, and as I turned back up the aisle to go pay, the oldest officer was standing at the top of the aisle, watching me. As I drew nearer, he asked me, "How are you doing?" I replied, "Okay, and you?" He looked at me with a strange look and asked me, "How are you really doing?" I looked at him and said, "I'm tired." His reply was, "Me too." And then he said, "I guess it's not easy being either of us right now, is it?" I said, "No, it's not." And then he hugged me, and I cried. And we wept together in each other's arms. I had never seen that man before in my life. I have no idea why he was moved to talk to me. But what I do know is that he and I shared a moment this morning that was absolutely beautiful. No judgments, no justifications, just two people sharing a moment. And her hashtag was, "Found a moment of clarity." Moments of clarity, images from Dallas, from a woman in Andover. And I'd like to offer one more series of moments put together by one of our very own parishioners, building relationship with Dwayne, the African-American man in his wheelchair who is often seen on the island at Northern Parkway in Charles. You see, one of our parishioners could not continue to pass by and not be moved and not be moved to act. So over the course of the past year and perhaps longer, he has drawn near to Dwayne and built relationship with him, made sure that Dwayne had surgery on his knees. One of our parishioners has been making sure that Dwayne now gets back and forth from Kennedy Krieger for his physical therapy appointment. One of our parishioners has been making sure that Dwayne finds housing, public housing, and because of one of our own feeling moved to act from compassion, Dwayne and his girlfriend have been approved for public housing and will be sending out requests for furnishings for that house and for other people to help with transporting him from his home to his physical therapy appointments in Kennedy Krieger. The way through, Jesus said 2,000 years ago, is the same way through today. Let us continue to see. Let us continue to draw near. Let us continue to be moved with compassion and to act. That is the way to eternal life. And that is the way to save our souls, both individually and collectively as a nation. When Christ was lifted from the earth, his arm stretched out above through every culture, every birth, to draw an answering love. Where generation, class, or race divide us to our shame, Jesus sees not labels, but a face, a person, and a name. And in the words of a modern-day prophet, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. And hatred cannot drive out hatred, only love can do that." Let us be agents of love and mercy. Amen.